Yes, it is. Free Talk Live. This Sunday. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Preferably the front edge.
But not the mark edge. I'll be substitute mark for the day. No, I'm not nearly as historically proficient as he is.
And but are you going to color your beard green?
I shall not.
That's costly. Yes. Not like the going to the salon part, but I think that was part of a fundraiser. He didn't just like decide he wanted blue hair one day or whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't seem the type to get outrageous colored hair all of a sudden.
I mean, I'm not opposed to doing something along those lines, should it be bartered for appropriately.
So no plans to change the color of your beard, but it is for sale.
I'm just saying everybody has their price. Everybody is a bit of a prostitute on some level or another when it comes to certain things. So
I mean, I dye my hair weird colors for lots of money. I mean, I don't have to go anywhere. I sit in my house all day. I don't know what good it's going to do you. But
if
I'll still come here.
How else am I supposed to go undercover?
If, like, say, Mr. Edge wanted to do some sort of a promotion for the show and, you know, compensate a guy for dyeing his beard green, yeah, maybe on, like, St. Patty's Day or something. I don't know.
It's a bit short notice there.
I'm not in charge of these.
It doesn't take 3 days to dye your hair.
No, but it might take that long to, like, get the fundraiser together.
That's true.
Then again, we do live in the age of the internet, so it might be like 5 minutes.
I'm just a show host. I'm not in charge of like sales and marketing and promotions and ad copy.
You don't do marketing?
No, I don't. I respect the heck out of both Ian and Mark for taking on all of the roles as well as being hosts. I, however, am not as multifaceted as those two fine gentlemen are. No green beard for me today. How about you? No green beard either?
Okay. No.
Melanie,
no.
Green beard?
Not unless okay. I've had a very disastrous sneeze.
Mine are usually a little more yellow or maybe chunky brown.
I don't remember eating split pea soup poorly.
I had whatever the illness was that was going around.
Oh, did you?
And it wasn't the COVID, but I am a former smoker, so of course it eventually ended up in my lungs and, of course, all that good lung butter.
Yes. Lung butter.
I've made sticks out of it. I'll fry some toast in it later. You know, French toast. At any rate, in case you're listening, listeners, and you're wondering, wanderers, what you're listening to, this is Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we're going to talk about all sorts of fun stuff and also whatever you want to talk about. So 603-283-6160 if you want to get on the air with us. I want to first talk about what I'm calling government slavings time. You guys know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that has some crazy history. Like, we suddenly got a president who, like, you know, I really like collecting bugs. And the problem is
not
that,
Bugs
like,
Bunny.
I have all of these meetings until, like, 5 p.m. And after 5 p.m., people are okay with me, you know, going and collecting bugs. But it's too dark. I've got it. I'll just change everyone else's schedule.
Yeah, so
he's president. Can't he just do whatever he wants?
Apparently, they have control of time.
Well, he would need to do some sort of executive order, something along those lines.
Executive order that there would be no meetings between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. That would have just been better.
I'm looking for... I found it on the Wikipedia.
Better than the daylight savings time that, like, you know, kills lots of people every year. Yeah, that'd be nice. Because a lot of people don't realize that, oh, you know, it's just this little thing. No, like the number of deaths from auto accidents skyrockets on that particular day every year.
So do heart heart attacks.
Yep, heart attacks.
On which day? Daylight savings?
Yep.
Like today?
Yeah, both days, actually.
So yesterday and today?
Well, no, the day after it happens,
days.
Depending on how you look at it. Like,
oh, spring forward and fall back.
Yeah, well, if you cut it off at midnight, that's not how days work, okay?
So the technical day that it happens both times, both the spring forward day and the fall back day, both have an increase in auto accidents and an increase in heart attacks.
So it's kind of like a full moon, except different.
Yeah, but full moons are usually like voluntary activity. I mean, not that the moon
true,
is full,
right.
But like, well, you're out going real and doing stupid stuff of your own volition.
I'm choosing to not have the moon full this month that I can have two full moons next month.
I could be mistaken. I believe that there are more unexpected labors, childbirths on full moons, like people who are near term and they're expected, a week later or 2 weeks later, or whatever, and like, oh, it's the full moon. I guess the baby's coming now.
I've never heard of that, so I don't.
Interesting. I know that there have been studies about things like the crime rate and the emergency room rates. They actually do extra staffing at hospitals, at ERs, and things of that nature on full moons because there's an increase in activity on those days.
And that's largely due to, and if you live in a large city, you probably don't notice it as much, but even now, a lot of places, you don't have a street light every 10 feet.
Right.
If you can see better and you're inclined to be out robbing houses, you're going to rob more houses because you can see where you're going.
makes robberies more efficient.
Well, and one of the things is like a lot of our patterns were established a long time before we figured out electricity. So the fact that you had this monthly cycle where more activity would happen at night, I mean, eventually it just sort of gets biologically ingrained in the organism.
Yeah, prior to the current clock systems that we have, there are a couple of places. Greenwich Mean Time is referred to as a place, and this is a place where they sort of anchor the clocks of the world, and they call it coordinated universal time. So they broadcast a beacon, and everybody else sort of synchronizes their clocks to the Greenwich Mean Time, coordinated universal time. And then
London is special.
Right, and then they do the math or whatever time zone they're in or whatever. But before all of that, there were actually clocks in existence, and I only read about this earlier today, so I don't know all of the details. But there were clocks in existence that would actually make hours longer in the summer and shorter in the winter.
Really?
So you would have the same number of hours, daylight, if you will, daylight hours, right? So if there were, we'll call it 10 hours of daylight in a given day, during the colder months, the hours would each be like around 45, 47 minutes. But then in the summertime, the hours would be like 70 minutes.
Huh.
And they had clocks that would compensate for this weird seasonality.
That is weird.
Yeah, so I found that bizarre. But regarding government slavings time, and I call it that because, well, this was put into place during World War I. As an effort to, do something. The first states to adopt daylight savings time, this is from Wikipedia, by the way, to adopt daylight savings time, that's in parentheses. The first states to adopt daylight savings time nationally were those of the German Empire and its World War I ally, Austria-Hungary, commencing on April 30th, 1916. So,
can we just tell them that daylight savings time is Nazis now and then they'll cancel it?
Oh, that'd be great. Cancel culture takes out government slavings time. That's a great idea, Melanie. I'm glad you thought of it. It was put into place as a way to conserve coal during wartime. Coal. Britain, most of its allies, and many European neutrals soon followed. Russia and a few other countries waited until the next year, and the United States adopted daylight savings time in 1918. Most jurisdictions abandoned DST in the years after the war ended in 1918, with exceptions including Canada, the UK, France, Ireland, and the United States. More Free Talk Live on the way, 603-283-6160. Yeah, Yes, it is Free Talk Live. It is the Sunday edition. Our telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. If you would like to join us, get on the air, talk about whatever's on your mind. You can comment on anything we've been talking about here today, anything we've talked about in the past, or anything you want to talk about, whatever's on your mind. In the studio, it is myself, the captain,
Beakless Mountaineer,
and Melanie.
And we've been talking about something I call government slavings time. You may be familiar with this because all of your clocks either automatically changed, or perhaps you don't have clocks that automatically change. Like me, I had to change my stove clock and the clock in my car because they don't update automatically. They're not connected to the Internet of Things.
There might be people out there not hearing us because they didn't realize.
Well, and that's, I was asking you guys during the break, like if somebody is, I don't know, there's a couple of states, Arizona doesn't observe mm-hmm. the daylight savings time. But like right. if somebody's living off grid and they've got like a satellite radio they're listening to the show on and they didn't, you know, they didn't change their clocks, we would be starting early or late?
They would not be listening to us now because they think it's still 6.
Right. So when they start tuning in, it'll be next hour and they'll be like, hey, I missed an hour. What's going on? And we'll have been done talking about government slavings time, so they won't even know at that point. Why do I call it government slavings time, you might ask?
I do.
And ask you might. So there's this a mind exercise, if you will. If taking 100% of a person's life effort is slavery, right, then at what percentage is it no longer slavery? Right? 90%, 80%, 50%, 25%, 10%, right? If somebody, some organization or some people take 25% of your life's effort from you without your consent, are you 25% a slave? Well, in my mind, absolutely yes. I mean, the answer to my question is zero, right? If taking 100% of your life's effort is slavery, overt slavery, right, then taking any percentage of your labor without your consent, right, from you, without anything in return, et cetera, and so on, would be 0%, right?
Well, I stand with Ron Paul on the idea that a 1% tax is 100% of the principal. So if they tax you even one iota, then you are a slave.
Correct.
And they're just being nice. Like, to my mind, there's a difference between being free and having a nice master.
Right.
And that is that difference. So if they can demand anything they want, and they happen to not demand, say, over 50%, then you have a master. They're just being nice to you.
Right. So as the most commonly referred to term for most folks out there to understand would be citizens, right? As somebody who was born and grew up in the geographic area known as the United States of America, if you've worked, if you've, you know, had taxes taken out of your check, or you've bought property and paid taxes on that, et cetera, and so on, none of that was done with your overt consent, and thus and therefore, you are a slave to the government. Not 100% slave, but slavery light, if you will.
Well, and last time I looked at a legal dictionary, if you look up the word citizen, it tells you that it is the equivalent of subject.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I really don't know what the difference between a subject to a king and the slave to a master is.
So we've identified why I call folks who are subject to a government slaves. Now, it's also daylight savings time. Well, who implemented that? The government, right? They did it in World War I. We just talked about that before the break. We read a little bit from the Wikipedia article. I understand you have a little bit more about daylight savings time.
And,
but
and
you know,
it is kind of a bizarre ritual, really.
It is.
I mean, and the fact that they can change when it happens. So I first thought about this when I had heard that George W. Bush had altered the duration of daylight savings time so that the fallback happened like a month later or something like that.
Oh, I
and
remember
it's like,
that.
Wow.
I had forgotten
when you
all
have
about
so
that.
Much power that your civilization agrees that you get to control time.
I am a time traveler. I exist in multiple time zones. If you're on the West Coast, it's only like 4:25. But if you're on the East Coast, it's 7:25. If only I could tell myself what the winning lottery numbers were. You know?
You might even be streaming this in like the Marianas Islands.
Where it's tomorrow.
Right.
Or is it yesterday?
Tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. So anyway, so from all of that, the government, you know, you're basically slaves to, and then we have daylight savings time, and so I just came up with a trendy term called government slavings time, and that's what we've been subject to again here today. You've lost an hour of sleep, as they say. I wouldn't say you've lost it. They just kind of took it away.
Well, I mean, the government has told you you will be showing up at work 1 hour earlier today than yesterday.
Where did you
have no choice in that.
Have you seen the hour of sleep? I had it around here somewhere. Melanie, did you take it again?
Yeah, I just need extra sleep right now, so I just kind of pickpocket people's sleep.
See, when I take a nap, I take yours.
Is that like taking my lunch too?
Exactly. I just reach into your sleep pocket and yoink, that is my nap now.
All right, so you had something to say about daylight savings time.
I did. I've got an article here from CNN. Senators once again introduce a bill to make daylight saving time permanent.
Wait, hang on. Melanie, what was your question about that? It was, which one? Right? So which, right now we're in spring forward
mode.
Oh,
I don't care. Just pick one.
Right, okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I realize I'm splitting hairs here, but like, I would want it to be that as close as possible, noon was when the sun was at the top of the sky.
That makes sense.
Which would be not having daylight saving time at all. This is the other side of that, so that noon is when the, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really just opposed to the change. You know, they could pick one, and I'd probably be like, okay, fine, whatever. That's the one they picked. And, you know, my preference, I think, would be for more daylight when most people, quote unquote, would be awake so that, you know, you could enjoy the daylight, as it were.
Well, and it is a really great illustration of how inefficient government is. Because, I mean, there is no group that actually wants daylight savings to keep happening.
Oh, no, it's very efficient.
And it keeps killing people. Like, daylight savings kills people every year that would not have otherwise died.
None of that goes to show that the state isn't... I mean, the state isn't inefficient, but none of that goes to show that the state is...
Well, let me rephrase. Inefficient at actually helping and serving people.
Well, right. I'm inefficient at brain surgery because I don't attempt it.
Me too.
Fair enough. Then it's a good illustration that the government isn't serving you or else they'd have gotten rid of this years ago.
Yeah, I can't think of any reason why daylight savings time should exist. I can't think of any practical reason. Listeners, if you're out there, 603-283-6160, why should daylight savings time even exist?
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website, all put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
The 10 digits you need to join in on this live call-in radio talk program known as Free Talk Live are 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. And you can talk about whatever's on your mind. You can comment on anything we've been talking about. Anything at all. It's called Free Talk Live. We only have a few rules, and that is don't violate the FCC, which sadly means no cussing. Outside of that, talk about whatever you want. We are on somewhere around 185 radio stations, so we do unfortunately have to abide by the FCC rules in that respect. But outside of that, it's open phones. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we've been talking about Melanie stealing my hour of sleep.
Yeah, I do that.
I'm just kidding. We've been talking about government slavings time, also known as daylight savings time to most of you. And why does it exist? Why is it even a thing? This reminds me of the antiquated practice of schools having the summer off. This was originally done because folks needed the help on the farm during the harvest.
Well, now it's done so that you cannot be in an actual relationship in split custody. But if schools want to be closed for any given reason, I'll take it.
I'm with you on that as far as an overall. It's just the practice is antiquated. It no longer applies to, well, anybody. I mean, certainly there are still farmers that may have children, but mankind has invented tools to help them with their harvest, so they no longer really need their children to like help out with the harvest on the farm.
Well, and that is part of the myth of daylight saving time. If you ask the average person about it, they'll be like, oh, I think it has something to do with the farmers. Like, that is the going perception when it has absolutely nothing to do with that. But, yeah, I mean, the summers off was, you know, because once upon a time, like, over 90% of our people needed to farm or we would die.
Right.
And then we did technology. And now, like, 1% can farm and feed everybody.
Right. So, I mean, the whole kids having summers off certainly wrecks a lot of folks' personal schedules. Right?
Well, no, because the fact that government school is closed for three months, or whatever it is now, doesn't directly affect your life. The fact that you had kids and did not decide to figure out who would watch them and pawn them, that is what is messing up your schedule.
That's true. But the fact is that most people operate in a, you know, somewhat of an 8-to-5 capacity on a Monday through Friday basis.
But it's been that way for a while. Like, you knew that when you got knocked up.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. But what I'm saying is that no innovation has occurred when it comes to the government's schooling mandates, because even private schools are subject to this summer off because the government mandates it, right? So there's been no innovation. You know,
and that's par for the course. Right. I mean, as soon as anything gets in the hand of government, technology stops developing immediately.
Yes.
I mean, like, if you look at the schooling process itself, it is almost completely identical to what it was 100 years ago because the government's been involved.
Yep. Now, we also mentioned that there is some movement around the idea of ending, or at least picking one of the two statuses of daylight savings time, either the spring forward or the fallback, and just staying with it.
Yeah, and I guess they've gone the more optimistic sounding route of having more daylight in our imaginations.
Okay, I'm all right with that.
I've got the CNN article, Senators once again introduce bill to make daylight saving time permanent. A group of bipartisan senators, I didn't know that a bipartisan senator could exist. Anyway, I'm sure they meant a bipartisan group of senators, is reintroducing
maybe,
a bill.
Maybe maybe he's a bisexual senator and they misprinted the word.
A partisan bisexual senator?
Anyway, continue.
Is it reintroducing a bill that would make daylight saving time permanent. In the United States, most states observe DST, which starts on the second Sunday in March at 2 a.m. and ends on the first Sunday in November at 2 a.m. for 8 months out of the year and 4 months of standard time, which strikes me as completely backward. Because, like, if daylight saving time is more of the year, that would be the standard, I would think.
You would think so, right, yeah.
Anywho, but the Sunshine Protection Act, proposed by Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
That is the most ridiculous. And bills Sunshine have ridiculous Protection names Act. In the first place.
Yeah.
It's not like bills have logical, reasonable names.
Well, they're usually the opposite of what they're called.
That's
so
the thing that disturbs me. Like,
the Sunshine Act.
Is there going to be some weird, like, part of this bill? Because no one reads bills anymore. Is there some weird part of this bill where there's, like, a mad scientist with a death ray that shoots the sun so that there is no more sunlight ever again?
No, it's Bill Gates with his particles in the sky to shield out the sunlight.
Oh, could be that. Right. Could be that.
It's my guess.
How else are we supposed to stop global warming? We've got to, you know, have aerosolized aluminum particles or something.
It's called the, what is it called? The daylight?
It is the Sunshine Protection Act. We've got to protect our precious sunshine.
Just the hubris of government thinking it can protect sunshine.
Well, I mean, we have long since given up the idea that things need to be reasonable. They just need to sound good feeling. Anywho, the Sunshine Protection Act, proposed by Republican Senator Marco Rubio, calls for not, quote, falling back, unquote, in November, but instead enjoying DST year-round. It would not change the country's current time zones or the number of hours of sunlight. I repeat, it would not change the number of hours of sunlight.
Which is frickin' impossible.
Which... Okay, CNN, you really do not give your readers much credit, do you?
Like, if anything, they're insinuating that government is so omnipowerful that they can change the number of hours of daylight.
You know, they really ought to pass a law against gravity just for safety's sake. I mean,
it's really holding me down.
It is.
I can't get up because of it.
Well, there was a state that... I don't think it actually passed, but they had a bill, and it wasn't like a joke bill. They were for real, to change pi to equal 3 because it was too complicated for them.
You're kidding.
No.
The state of confusion?
Wait, what? Was this? Yeah. Where was this?
I don't remember.
I demand you consult the magic rectangle.
That is terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying. Like, you can't.
It didn't pass, but they fought for that
hard. But still,
brain exploding.
The fact that somebody exerted effort to write this down and attempt to put it into motion and go through whatever the hoops are that are required to.
Most of the Earth is not intelligent or civilized.
I have found reality to be too confusing and complicated. So with this new law, I will make reality more simple.
All right, so they're going to try and permanentize, that's the wrong word.
Yeah, the bill was already passed in Rubio's home state of Florida in 2018, but in order to go into effect requires a change at the federal level. 15 other states, including California, which voted to make daylight saving time permanent in 2018, and Washington, which did the same in 2019, have passed similar legislation. And I know it also doesn't apply in Arizona. I know they've got that written down here, but
Arizona and somewhere else too. I can't remember.
But yeah, I mean, just, you know, if we pass a law, we can change the speed of light, the acceleration of gravity, and, you know, the number of hours in the
day. Yes, we'll pass a law to make gravity less than in New Hampshire than it is, say, in Arizona, for example, so people will be lighter on their feet here.
Exactly.
603-283-6160 is our phone number. Would you pass a law to change a law of physics? Oh, we've got more Free Talk Live coming up. Welcome back to the program, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It is the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we've been talking about daylight savings time. I think I'm just going to let it lie with, I don't think that there's any reason that it should exist. And hopefully, you know, people will come to their senses and realize that it's a completely useless thing to have around. And all it does is furthers the government control over individuals.
Yeah. Go on with the article, senators once again introduced bill to make daylight saving time permanent. They were just saying that 16 states have already passed similar legislation. Quote, the call to end the antiquated practice of clock changing is gaining momentum throughout the nation, Rubio said in a statement Tuesday. And it really does sound like this thing's likely to pass, which it's about time. Pun not intended.
It's about time. Time.
Because if they really have some big benefit to having this extra daylight at the afternoon instead of the morning, so that people can have sun in their eyes while they're driving to work instead of after they come home, then okay, fine. Call them on that. Okay, fine. Then you can have that all year long.
Yeah.
But that's not what they really want. They want to mess with people for the sake of messing with people.
Right.
Right.
Right. And, I mean, it occurs to me that, well, if you wanted to operate in some way, shape, or let's say you're a company, and there was some business reason for you to operate during the hours of daylight, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. Just go ahead.
Places that do that.
Yeah, just go
ahead
and do
that. They don't do roofing
so.
In the middle of the night.
Right.
They are at dark. They don't do... There's plenty of things that they don't do if it's raining or dark or snowing or
right.
whatever.
Right.
Well, and the reason it's difficult is you want your business to have the same numbers. Like, we open at 8 a.m., we close at 5 p.m., or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, you want those numbers to be the same, and when the consensus is that it is no longer those particular numbers, then it causes confusion.
The sun doesn't go down at the same time every day anyway.
Right. Moving on with the article here, not everyone observes the tradition in the U.S. Hawaii and Arizona don't. The five major U.S. territories, American Samoa, Guam, the Northern Mariana Island, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, also do not observe DST. In a recent statement, Rubio cited multiple benefits to extending DST, including reducing the number of car accidents Americans experience and helping reduce the risk of seasonal depression. He said such legislation would help give families more stability throughout the year. Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts echoed Rubio and highlighted the benefits of extending DST. Quote, studies have found year-round daylight saving time would improve public health, public safety, and mental health, especially important during this cold and dark COVID winter, Markey said in a statement, adding that he is, quote, proud to sponsor the Sunshine Protection Act to add an extra hour of sunshine for the full 365 days a year.
What's the there's,
I don't know what in the heck he means by this.
There's a meme that goes around the internet usually around this time, you know, in the spring and in the fall, about daylight savings time, and it's a picture of the, you know, the old Native American. And it says something along the lines of, only a white man would be silly enough to think that cutting off the bottom 4 inches of a blanket and sewing it to the top of the same blanket would give him a bigger blanket.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what daylight savings is, right?
And I mean, like, it just shows how completely disconnected from reality people are. I mean, not just, like, okay... The senators are clearly disconnected from reality by calling this a Sunshine Protection Act, by saying that it would add an extra hour of sunshine for the full 365 days a year. Like, they are obviously not connected to reality. CNN obviously doesn't expect its readers to be connected to reality, which is why they have to make sure to specify that this did not actually, if it passes, it didn't actually add any extra hours of sunlight.
Did they put something in parentheses that says, this bill did not actually add any extra sunlight, right? You know, like in the, you hear the commercials on TV and there's always a guy like, you know, taking blah, 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 blah would result in the growth of a third eye and spontaneous anal bleeding and all that kind of stuff, right?
You know? Yeah, or like my personal favorite is the, this can help you stop smoking. And in the quick little blurb, it's like, it also might make you kill yourself.
My favorite is, of course, the medication for people who are depressed that may cause suicidal thoughts.
Right.
Like, wait a minute. Why would you even ever consider taking that if that's one of the side effects?
Well, now that I'm feeling better, I'm just up to engaging in all sorts of projects.
Well, you know, I can't believe these people think they are so powerful that they can change time, that they can change the number of hours of daylight.
Well, and there's this weird conception that, like, that the center and core of our entire civilization is government, and they're the ones that, like, keep track of what all the norms are and make sure that everyone's doing the normal thing, and, like, they're the ones that hold on to what our societal expectations are, and that's why they get to tell us how many hours a day it is, or how many days are in this year. And it
most people cannot separate the concept of society from the concept of government.
Like, it reminds me of a story. Sadly. Of a king that, like, he became very well known and famous. And one of the things that he did to express humility was he walked out to the ocean and commanded the tide not to come in. Just to show people, hey, just so you know, I'm a human being. I can't actually change reality.
That's like standing out in a freeway in front of a semi-truck and going, I command you, semi, to not run me over.
I mean, there's a person in the semi who can see you and might be able to stop.
Okay, all right. I'll give you that.
The ocean doesn't care because it doesn't have neurons.
So how about like lava flow from a volcano, though, right? Yeah. I command you, lava, to not flow any longer. OMG.
There will now be an extra hour of sunlight. It's like, but no.
Most people in the U.S. really only rely on sunlight for driving. Outside of that, we live in buildings.
Well, I mean, gardening, you know, plants, right? That kind of stuff. But, I mean, is that reliance? No, they go to the grocery store and they buy their food, right?
It is kind of strange that we have, like, in an era that's, you know, a century after creating electric light, we still have a very heliocentric civilization. Like, our entire civilization is still centered around when is the sun out? Because that is when we will allow people to do business. And if you do business when the sun is not out, we are just concerned about you.
Well, and the thing is, you don't have... The U.S. is a third of a continent. That's not one society. There are places where it would make complete sense to not be out at night when it's dark, or to be very careful if you are. There are places where it just doesn't matter. And both of those types of places are within the U.S. because it's a third of a continent, not one society or one culture.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking Alaska specifically in the northern parts where, you know, for half the year, it's pretty dark. It never really gets daylight. And then for the other half of the year, it's basically daylight all the time. It gets a little dusky, but it never really gets night. Right. They're still subject to daylight savings time. Why?
And my thought is, this really shows you which states are behind the ball on this thing. Because obviously we don't have to be lockstep with each other. Otherwise, you know, Arizona couldn't get away with it.
Well,
Hawaii
couldn't
get away with it.
There's plenty of states that have passed state-level legislation to get rid of this BS.
Mm. Right.
But you need federal approval.
You need federal approval to stop doing daylight savings time?
To change time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so Arizona and what was it, Hawaii?
Only I am the Time Lord. Thou shalt not set thy clocks according to thy whim, but mine.
They really do feel that they are Gallifreyan. The politicians, that is, the federal government is in control of almost every possible aspect of your life. And by in control, I mean they at least meddle with it. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is on the way. Stand by for hour number two.
Carl Wattner, longtime proponent of a voluntary society, died last December. You may have seen his articles published on his website, voluntarist.com, in his newsletter, The Voluntarist, the Mises Institute, or elsewhere over the last 40 years. His newest book, I Must Speak Out, Volume 2, The Best of the Voluntarist, is now available via Liberty Under Attack Publications. This 430-page second volume spans the years of 2000 through 2020 and includes articles by Carl Wattner, Hans Hermann Hoppe, Carl Hess, Benjamin Tucker, George H. Smith, Lysander Spooner, Pete Eyre, Joyce Brand, and many others. I Must Speak Out is for the newly initiated, the veteran voluntarist, or anywhere in between. Buy the book now at libertyunderattack.com/voluntarist. For more great content on building a voluntary society and for Carl's extensive archives, check out voluntarist.com.
Free Talk Live.
You are in the right place for Free Talk Live. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. We'll go to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we've been talking about ending the antiquated notion of daylight savings time, or as I like to call it, government savings time. And
yeah, a special welcome to all of our listeners who didn't have a clock that updated.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. We just spent an hour talking about how that was dumb, and there's a bill to end it, so that's cool.
Yes, indeed. If you overslept because you didn't change your clocks.
I mean, you're they kind of change themselves at this point.
Well, if you have a cell phone or your computers, those all change themselves. But like, I had to change my stove and my car clock. And so I'm sure that there's somebody out there, you know, off grid, who's not connected to the internet, whose, you know, clocks didn't change themselves. They're waking up going, ooh, you know, I've worked in enough places, too, that even though, yes, all these things automatically update themselves, there's still always one guy.
Yeah, but that's just like an excuse to come in the work late. That's not you actually. One guy who shows up and goes,
oh, I must have forgot. I didn't know. My alarm didn't. It's daylight savings? Oh, that's why I'm late.
You know? I have honestly made that mistake. Like, I've had like a nice little battery-powered, you know, not hooked up to any kind of grid, little alarm clock, because it's really, really loud and annoying, and that's kind of what I need when I'm waking up.
Speaking of alarming, there is some new legislation being introduced at the federal level regarding gun control. And Melanie, you brought this in from CBSNews.com. The headline is House Approves Gun Control Bills Expanding Background Checks. Now, this is at the House level at this time, but, well, we know who controls the Senate, right? So we'll talk more about that. But first, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Good Citizen calling from in New Hampshire. Good Citizen, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's it going, Free Talk Live? I've been watching your show quite a bit.
Awesome.
Man, I've seen some things go on last night. Looked like we had a few freedom fighters out there in Manchester. They were out there filming, and the cops wanted their ID. It looked like they were going to trespass them, even though they were never asked to leave the property.
Were you there in person?
No, I was not there. I watched the stream after the stream was posted, probably a couple hours after it was posted. I made calls to Manchester PD when I woke up.
Nice.
And I did put those calls on my channel. I kind of had to go off on them just to get to where I could talk to anybody. And then whenever I got to where I could finally talk to a supervisor about it to get some answers on what was going on, why that, you know, that what they did wasn't right, because they tased
Savage
Truth when he tried to walk away. He was, because the sergeant was even saying, you guys need to leave, and started, you know, Truth went to walk away. And next thing you know, he's getting ganged up on by seven cops tasing him.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Well,
and it was insane. It was just, it was crazy to watch just something like that happening in our community. So, you know?
Hold on. So
they weren't doing nothing.
Well, just so our listeners are aware, there were some folks who are involved in the freedom community here in here in New Hampshire, who are out in Manchester doing what we like to call cop blocking. And that is, they go out and, you know, they will film police, you know, generally harassing other people or pulling other people over. And, you know, they'll just sort of be there in the hopes that, you know, they can make the police behave in a rational manner instead of the manner in which they normally behave. So that went on last night. I'm not exactly sure the location. I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody who was involved. Do you have?
I don't know where they were at, to be fair, because it was like, even after he was arrested, his streams kept rolling in one spot for a couple of hours. I don't think they took, I'm not sure if they took his camera with him or not. Yeah. It looked like it was just sitting there because I was.
And just a quick comment that this has been in court, and according to their system, we do have the right to videotape police officers while they're performing their duties. But boy, they are not happy about that.
That is a New Hampshire case. If you were somewhere else,
right. Now, yeah. So
well,
were you saying
Oklahoma is trying to get it approved to where you can't post any information about police officers in Oklahoma? You can't video. They're trying to make it to where you can't video record them either.
Wow. So all police will be secret police.
Yeah, it's pretty scary because I came from the Oklahoma area. I used to cop block down there before I came up here. And they're worse. They're a lot worse, I can tell you that. They're easier to deal with up here.
Wow. So were you saying that Savage was doing what they told him to do, and then they tased him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Essentially, yeah. If you watch the video, I saw the video. He was wearing a chest cam, like one of these GoPro-style things that, you know, it's a little harness, and he's got a big old beard, so it was kind of like looking through the bottom of his beard as it was all going down. But, you know, the police were saying, hey, the owners of this premise, wherever they were, this parking lot that they were in at the time, they want to trespass you, so we need your name. And his argument was, well, they never asked me to leave. And the videotape reveals that, indeed, you know, nobody, the business, nobody ever asked him to leave. Nobody confronted him in any way and said, hey,
right,
we'd like you
but
to go.
But were they even on the property, or were they on the sidewalk? Because it looked to me like they were on the sidewalk.
Yeah, that remains in question. There is another angle. Another person had some film going. There were several people filming, had a camera going, and so, you know, I'm curious to see the rest of the footage myself, but it certainly seemed to me that the police overstepped their bounds, because all that Savage was trying to do was leave. He's like, okay, well, if, you know, you're not going to ask me to leave, I'm just going to leave, right? If the business owner isn't going to ask me to leave, then I'm going to leave. I've done nothing wrong otherwise. And they sort of chased him and appeared to tackle him. And then tased him. You could hear the and everything in his videotape,
and him
crying out.
Well, I did try to de-escalate him as well. I could see it in his video. He was trying to de-escalate it while they were tasing him, because he's like, man, he's not even resisting, like, you know. And it was just, it's crazy to watch that they can just do this to people and think that they can get away with it without repercussion. Because to me, it looks to me like it's a deprivation of rights under Title Code 18. Deprivation of rights under color of law, Title 18, U.S. Code, Section 242.
I have no idea what that means.
Clear violation of law.
Yeah, I'm not familiar enough with the actual citations and, you know, the chapters and all that kind of thing, as you are a good citizen. But it certainly seemed inhuman to me, the treatment that he received. And I would think that he would have some sort of a legal case, although we know that when it comes to the legal system, the deck is stacked against you. And that is to say that there is an inherent conflict of interest. The police, the judges, and the prosecutors all derive their paycheck from the same source. So,
which is us.
Yeah.
That's like when I was telling the dispatch this morning that I needed to talk to a supervisor. She kept hanging up on me the first couple of times, so I finally had to get mad at her, you know. And I had to tell her, I was like, you know what, you work for us, you work for me.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, And I'm asking you to, I said, what's your name and your badge number?
Nice.
And she replied back, I don't work for you.
How many times did you have to call?
Well, that is an accurate statement. It's just not usually the mythology that they push.
Right.
How many times did you have to call, good citizen?
I had to call probably about 5 times before she would finally transfer me to a supervisor. And then she finally put me on hold, I think, the 4th time. And I was on hold for about 4 or 5 minutes. So I hung up and I called back again. And I pretty much had to tell her, well, you better tell him he needs to answer his phone. Because, you know, we need some answers question. When I got a hold of him and I started asking him about it, I was already pretty irritated. And he told me that I would have to come in to ask him about it.
Hey, thanks for the call, good citizen. We appreciate it. Yeah, I'm sure there will be more coming out about that. I know this stuff usually ends up on some blogs, and we'll let you know where it ends up. There will be footage forthcoming. 603-283-6160 is our phone number. More Free Talk Live is on the way. Welcome back to Free Talk Live, the live call-in talk radio program where you can talk about whatever's on your mind. The number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And I wanted to tell you that Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you will find a cornucopia of information neatly organized by your needs. There is no longer an excuse for ignorance of this important world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines of all the news relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a very slick and easy-to-use website. Please visit Bitcoin.com. Now, during the last segment, we had a caller talking about a couple of the gentlemen who were engaging in some civil disobedience in the form of cop blocking in Manchester, New Hampshire. There was much videotape. I've only seen a portion of it. And one of the things that the caller did not mention was that during the tasing of one of these individuals, one of the cops called out, "He's got a gun." And while I'm watching the video, I fully anticipated hearing, you know, gunshots and the cops taking this guy out. If you don't know, listeners, in the state of New Hampshire, you can concealed carry just because you exist.
Constitutional carry. It's an extraordinary thing.
And it's anywhere. We don't have a lot of states will have open carry and will have concealed carry with or without a permit, but then they have all these areas where you can't carry. Things that the feds control, you still can't. Right. You can't take it into a federal courthouse. You can't take it into a post office. You can technically take it into a courthouse, but you have to check it at the gate. You can't take it into the courtroom.
Right.
I don't recommend that, so, but you can.
So these gentlemen being outside of some sort of business, you know, none of that would have applied to them. I just wanted to point out that this isn't unusual in New Hampshire. In some places of the United States, folks would be like, oh, he was carrying a gun. My God, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, but we don't have rules about being in or near a bar.
Right.
Rules about... There's still the federal school zones, but actually the federal school zones don't apply if you have a permit, which you can still get, even though you don't need one here. So there's nowhere where he can't be with a gun that's controlled by the state.
And culturally, it's just not especially unusual to go out to the supermarket and see someone with a gun on their hip.
Right.
It's funny. If you read the local news stories that get posted, it'd be like, the cops arrested this guy, and he had 18 guns and 5,000 rounds. And people are in the comments be like, so what? Mind your business.
Yeah. Have you been in my closet?
Some people are even kind of bold. They're like, oh, so if I ever get arrested for anything, it's I got twice that much.
It's not unusual for folks to be armed. It's as, I won't say as common as carrying a cell phone, but I mean, most people treat it that way. If somebody is carrying a sidearm openly, you know, they're like, hello, how are you today? I mean, there's no difference in the treatment of these people, and they don't seem to treat you any differently. And it does seem to be very polite here in the state of New Hampshire as a result of this. I bring this up because we mentioned earlier this article that you brought in, Melanie, from CBS News about the House approves gun control bills expanding background checks. One of the things about this, I had read a different article than this one, but one of the things that bothered me about the article I read was this seems to introduce background checks for person-to-person gun sales.
There technically wouldn't be any person-to-person gun sales under this bill if it were to pass. You have to go through a FFL.
I'm sorry, I don't acronym. Would you mind spelling that out for me?
I don't know what that firearms stands for, but the people license, who own gun stores
right.
And sell them.
Yeah, so currently, like, there are places on the internet where you could purchase a handgun legally.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do, though, is you have to go to the website, say, yep, this is the gun that I want, enter your payment information, and instead of shipping it to your house like you would do with, like, you know, I don't know, Amazon, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to instead ship it to an FFL, which is some sort of a licensed gun store, generally is what they are, as gun stores, or a retailer, or, you know, maybe some sort of a person who customizes guns.
A licensed gun dealer, basically.
Right.
Okay.
And so you have to ship it to them. And then also, if there's any federal background check required, you have to wait whatever that period of time is.
Well, there is a federal background
check. You have to wait whatever that period of time is and all that stuff.
There's not a waiting period. There's some states have waiting periods, like California. But
right.
Usually when I've bought a gun, you just go in and you hang around for half an hour and then they hand you the gun. The system has been known to get backed up.
Right.
And so when I bought a lower one time, I had to wait a couple of days. The way that works, though, as of today, you go in and you get a background check, and they usually know, like, hey, we've been being backed up. If it takes the feds longer than 3 days to come back with a clear check,
mm-hmm.
Now, if they deny you, you're denied. But if they just don't come back, then the store is allowed to now sell you that gun anyway.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that.
But usually it doesn't take that long.
Yeah. I did purchase a shotgun from a local store in person here, and they basically put me in front of a computer terminal to type in all the stuff instead of filling out actual paper. And then when I was done, they had to, like, you know, enter whatever their special codes are. And you're right, I had to hang out for, I don't know, 40 minutes or something. And finally, they're like, okay, here you go. And they actually had to walk out to the outside of the building. They couldn't hand me the firearm inside the building. They had to walk.
That's a store policy.
Out.
That's not a law. Okay. Not in New Hampshire, anyway.
Well, whatever it was, that's how it went down. So.
And I've watched stores go both ways on that 3 day line. I've seen stores because they're not obligated to sell you a gun at any point. I've seen stores like, well, it's been 3 days, come pick it up. Yeah. And I've seen stores like, nope, we're waiting for it to come back.
So this article says the House approved on two bills that would expand background checks on firearm sales, even though the legislation will likely stall in the Senate. I don't know. These are the first significant gun control measures passed by the House since Biden took office, after he promised to enact legislation strengthening background checks during his presidential campaign. Well, this would be the first thing he promised to do during his presidential campaign that he actually did. Anybody remember him promising to bomb brown people during his campaign? I don't. That's
no, but you can look
did.
At his track record and how he treats people domestically and see that.
He did kind of subtly promise that when he's like, hey, we'll be back to business as usual.
Oh.
I mean, that is the business as usual for the American empire.
Well, for Joe Biden, anyway. The Bipartisan Background Checks Act of 2021, H.R. 8, was approved on a vote of 227 to 203, with 8 Republicans joining almost all Democrats in voting for the bill, introduced by Democratic Congressman Mike Thompson. H.R. 8 would establish background check requirements for gun sales between private parties, prohibiting transfers unless a licensed gun dealer, manufacturer, or importer first takes possession of the firearm to conduct a background check. I don't know. I don't like it. 603-283-6160. Are you in line with this?
Do you feel like your nation, state, or community no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where people agree that liberty is important and are free to pursue their projects so long as they respect the property of others? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. Their social media links are at the upper right of the page at FreePrivateCities.com. All skill levels will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities opens. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build. FreePrivateCities.com.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It is Free Talk Live. It is the Sunday night edition. The telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160. We'll go to your calls and thoughts in just a moment. Again, 603-283-6160. We've been talking about this article from CBSNews.com where a new bill called the Bipartisan Background Checks Act of 2021. This one is named something you would expect to bureaucratically be named. It's not called the, like, you know, Safety for Everybody Gun Bill or something like that, right? You know, it was approved and it introduced what would establish background check requirements for gun sales between private parties, prohibiting transfers unless a third party, like a licensed gun dealer, manufacturer, or importer, first takes possession of the firearm to conduct a background check. The legislation would not apply to certain transfers, such as a gift between spouses. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy has introduced the companion bill in the Senate. So in the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
We're going to talk more about this gun control stuff. But first, let's go to Ron calling from Arkansas. Ron, you're on Free Talk Live.
How you doing?
We're good, Ron. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, this is I am interested in how this gun control is going to go. And, I want to say that my nephew is a policeman in Little Rock, Arkansas. I won't say his name or anything, obviously.
Okay.
But he's been spit on. And I have a problem. If somebody's just I may be wrong. I know there's cases where cops, and they're getting stronger now with Mr. Biden coming in. But I have a problem with them going and, you know, protesters being able to spit and hit and throw stuff. When you throw Molotov cocktails at a cop, or that's time right now to get it stopped.
Okay, so let me stop you there, Ron. It was your son, who is a police officer, has been spit on.
Your nephew. In Little Rock, Arkansas.
He's been spit on and he's had Molotov cocktails thrown at him?
Yeah, stuff thrown at him, yeah.
Wait, stuff or stuff Molotov cocktails?
Or a Molotov cocktail.
Molotov cocktail.
And how recently?
Well, I mean, we're talking about little over 6 months ago.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, it ain't all, I don't believe in this cancel culture that we've got. I'm totally against gun control. I think if you have a problem with me carrying a gun, then you got a problem with freedom in general.
Okay.
Because I should be able to carry anywhere, post office, you know, courthouse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're scared of me doing this, then I'm scared of you. But how many people have time to take off and film and what they call cop blocking? I saw in the riots that has been going on. So I guess what I'm saying, I'm both ways on it. If this last caller you had is telling the truth, then, you know, I sympathize with that.
Yeah, so cut-walking and rioting is not really the same thing. I mean,
do what?
Cut-walking and rioting is not really the same thing. If you're out throwing Molotovs and physically attacking people, cops or otherwise, that's not really... I mean, I guess you could interfere with an arrest, but just attacking people en masse, that has nothing to do with cop-blocking. Cop-blocking is being...
Oh, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was the next Marine. I understand. I watched Embassy Gates. I understand that. I get that.
Okay.
And I've seen... I've seen when guy over in the Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama let get killed, the ambassador over there. I'm losing my brain here, but I know that's a different story too.
Yeah.
But
Well, I think it is worth mentioning that, like, the people who are likely to throw a Molotov cocktail during a riot are also the kind of people who are used to being unarmed. And I think that if you had an armed populace, like a generally armed population, then the police would not go so far and people would not feel so powerless that they then feel the need to start throwing Molotov cocktails at police.
I don't think there's no reason to throw a Molotov cocktail unless, I mean, the way they've been destroying I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. I was in the Rodney King riot. I remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's reported one way. That was before Fox come in. It was reported that it was all about the Rodney King thing, but what really happened in Atlanta, Georgia, what I saw was them beating up white people. And at some point, where are we going to stop at all this?
Well, that is a great question.
Where's all this going to stop?
That's a great question, and thank you for the call today. I don't know where it's all going to stop. What I can say is my problem with the organization known as the police, not to be confused with the band known as the police, but the organization known as the police, is that they exist in violation of consent. Period. Right? An organization that exists in violation of consent should not exist. It should not be possible for them to exist, yet it is. And so when you have an organization that exists in violation of consent because they are based on an unethical and immoral premise, that is, taxation is where they derive their money from, and that they exist in violation of consent, then you are going to have the organization doing all sorts of heinous things to people because they get to have rights that nobody else has. They think that having a badge gives them different rights than you and I have, and they act as if that is the case almost every time.
Well, having a monopoly on the initiation of force is one more gang than we should have.
I agree. So I don't know when it is going to end or where it is going to end. I suspect that it will not be pretty when it does. And I suspect that it will get worse before it gets better.
And honestly, like getting back to like the people that throw Molotov cocktails in general are not the people who are armed.
Yeah,
and a lot of it comes down to the feeling of powerlessness against this organized crime group. Like when you feel like, okay, these people have the power to stop me, to kidnap me, to kill me, to steal my stuff for no apparent reason, and I can't do anything to them at all, well, eventually a certain portion of those people are going to get so fed up with this that they essentially, with very little means, declare war on this group.
Yeah, Ron does make a good point about carrying guns, though. And I think that we can further that point by saying equal rights, right? Equal rights, that means human beings, regular folk, you and I, should have the same rights as police. We should be able to carry around a firearm wherever we go, a utility belt full of whatever the heck we want to have our utility belt full of, etc. and so on.
Absolutely.
And be respected in the same exact way. That would be real equal rights as far as I'm concerned.
And just as it's a crime for me to take your stuff, it's a crime for them to take your stuff.
Agreed. 603-283-6160. 800-260 is our telephone number. Where do you stand on gun control? Are you against it? Are you for it? Do you even know what it is? Do you like guns? Are you afraid of guns? We've got more Free Talk Live coming up. Yes, it is Free Talk Live, the live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about anything that's on your mind. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. We'll go to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
We've been talking about this article from CBS News. There's some new legislation that has passed the House on its way to the Senate that would require background checks for gun sales between private parties by inserting a third party, making it no longer a private party sale.
And they say in this article that it is likely to stall in the Senate, and I cannot imagine why they think that.
Yeah, I can't either, particularly with the COVID measures being passed.
They have a really narrow, I mean, they couldn't even pass minimum wage with a majority, with that narrow of a majority. They have a really narrow
majority.
No
one wants that. I mean, like, not people, but as far as politicians go, politicians don't want minimum wage. Like, minimum wage is not a thing that they want.
But Democrat means slightly different things in slightly different places. Like, I don't think that the senator from Vermont is going to vote for this. So they might not have a majority in the Senate. Yeah.
Why not?
Because it's Vermont, and being a Democrat means being a Democrat in one state doesn't necessarily mean what being a Democrat across the continent means.
Well, because I mean, Vermont used to have more or less, or maybe exactly, constitutional carry at one point.
They still do.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I thought they repealed that.
They instituted magazine limits.
Well, this article continues with the second legislation considered by the House is the Enhanced Background Checks Act, H.R. 1446. The bill introduced by House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn would close the so-called Charleston loophole, which allows some gun sales to go through before background checks are completed. Under that loophole, Dylan Roof was able to purchase a firearm in 2015, which he then used to murder 9 people.
And since he wasn't a felon yet, had he walked into a gun store and got a background check, it would have been approved.
Right.
So
yeah, it wouldn't have stopped anybody anyway. The bill would also increase the amount of time firearm sellers must wait to receive a completed background check before transferring a firearm to an unlicensed buyer from 3 days to 10 days. So triple the time, if not more. It passed by a vote of 219 to 210 with 2 Republicans voting for it and 2 against. So we could talk more about this article and the rest of the content here. But first, let's go to Jules. She's calling from Virginia. Jules, you are live on the air on Free Talk Live.
Well, thank you so much. My name is Jill, G-I-L-L, like Jack and Jill went up the hill.
Jill, I apologize. Jill, welcome to the show.
Okay, never mind. The thing is, I'm against this whole notion that depriving a population of guns is going to make people safer.
Right.
Of course, if nobody has a gun, nobody can shoot anybody. Isn't that so? And we all know that the criminals who want to shoot people will always obey the law and not get a gun, don't we? What kind of idiocy is that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at England, like they've had a complete gun ban, including police. And, yeah, there's still people with guns. They're all criminals.
Well, what do you mean? And I've heard the saying, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
That's a fact.
Well, when guns are outlawed, only governments will have guns.
Yeah.
And when that happens,
outlaws too.
Yeah.
Just wrongdoers will have guns, and they just want to attack people.
Indeed. And thank you for the call today, Jill. if only government has guns. We've seen this in history. Open a freaking history book.
Well, and the other thing, even if I could with magic make all guns disappear, so now we just go to knives. And if I could with magic make all weapons disappear and make it physically impossible to use an item as a weapon, now all I've accomplished is whoever's physically stronger wins. So you can still attack people weaker than you.
Or whoever's got this magic ability will start to combat with each other.
And that's the thing. I mean, the way of having peace in the world is not to to change which tools we use to have violence. The way of having peace in the world is to have more discussion. Yeah. If we can talk more, like, that is the nature of humanity. We have two ways of solving disputes. We either solve them peacefully or violently.
I mean, the way to have peace in the world has so far proven itself to be nuclear proliferation, but...
Peace between nations, at least, yes. I wanted to finish my statement, though. If you look throughout history, whenever guns, weapons, whatever it is, whenever they're outlawed so that only governments have these guns and these weapons, what happens is people die. A lot of people die. A whole bunch of people die every time throughout all of history.
Massive democide.
Massive democide. And so, in my mind, all gun control should be abolished. You want to buy a tank? Buy a tank. You want to buy a gun? Buy a gun. You want to buy a wrist rocket? Buy a wrist rocket. I don't care, right? As long as everybody is able to buy the same stuff, that levels the playing field.
And I know people don't like to think about this, but do it anyway. Think about what the government has done. Would you approve this application? Like, look at history, look at how many people they've killed, look at how many innocent civilians they admit to killing.
They've definitely done at least one felony, which makes them ineligible for gun ownership.
Yeah, government does not pass a background check to own guns. So if government wants citizens to be disarmed, then I say, disarm yourself first, government. Show us how it's done. If you are such an upright and upstanding organization, then show us how it's done. Disarm yourselves. Disarm the police. Bring all the troops back. Show us how it's done, government.
I mean, even the felony thing, like, not all, there are some arrests and not convictions that will disqualify you, by the way, but the
right.
Across the board felony, like, when you say felony to a regular human being, they think of robberies and murders and rapes. That's not what all felonies are. There are some really silly felonies: filling out paperwork wrong by accident, tax fraud, saying mean things on the internet, killing a bald eagle by accident, not giving the proper vet care to a bald eagle.
Right.
Those probably aren't common. You probably don't come across bald eagles a whole lot, but operating without a proper permit. All these things can be felonies. They're not all felonies all the time, but they're very common to get a felony charge if you get convicted of something like that. And now they have nothing to do with each other. It's like, okay, so you did a non-violent, non-property crime felony, and now you can't own... So now you're not allowed to defend yourself against common criminals who are committing violent and property crime felonies against you. That's not even a rational...
Yeah, I mean, like... Okay,
you're absolutely right.
If you are in a group that is operating a business without a license, you can be denied a firearm. Whereas their group is, right now, today, they killed innocent people. Like, they will admit they killed innocent people, well, you know, while they were killing terrorists, today.
Yeah, I know.
Today, they killed innocent people, and that's who you want to trust with guns.
I know plenty of people, personally, who cannot buy guns anymore, but none of them have ever committed genocide.
Right.
None of them have ever committed a war crime. None of them have ever accidentally dropped 3 nukes on North Carolina.
Yeah, or on citizens in Philadelphia, for example, the MOVE bombing.
Well, yeah, that one was on purpose, right. But yes.
Yeah,
I mean, that makes it better anyway, but right. Yeah, they just murdered a bunch of people.
Yeah, just because they could. There's an interesting book, if you want to do some more reading on it, called 3 Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent. This is a book by Harvey Silvergate. It outlines, because of the fact that there are so many laws in existence, that they can't even be counted. People have tried, and they can't. There's too many laws for them to be counted. And because of this dearth of laws, because laws don't automatically age off, nobody ever goes on, hey, let's get rid of antiquated laws or laws that no longer apply or laws that are ridiculous. Nobody ever does any of that. So they just keep building up, so much so that the average person commits 3 felonies a day unbeknownst to them. On average, you've probably committed 3 felonies today. 603-283-6160. I certainly do not trust the government to tell me how to defend myself. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It is Free Talk Live. I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me in the studio tonight, it's...
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
Our telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'll get to your calls in just a moment. Again, 603-283-6160. We've been talking about and around this article from CBS News about some new legislation introduced and has gotten past the House on its way to the Senate for additional gun control, including background check requirements for gun sales between private parties, as well as something that closes the Charleston loophole, which allows some gun sales to go through before background checks are completed. It also extends the waiting period for background checks from 3 days to 10 days, amongst many other things, apparently.
And see, the feds could solve that problem right there if they would just do the background checks instead of sitting on it for 3 days.
Right. Yeah. What's the holdup? What's preventing them from processing them efficiently?
Yeah, it's not like it's labor intensive or anything.
Right. Yeah. Hire some temps, whatever you got to do. You know, get it done. Yeah, this is the problem with governments. They never do anything efficiently because they have no incentive to do so.
Well, that's not quite true. There are a couple things that they do very efficiently. For example,
killing.
They spend way more time and way more money. Yes.
I'm confusing a great number with efficiency.
Right. So, for example, when they need to go on vacation, they are incredibly efficient. Like, they will have an emergency session, they will write it on the back of a napkin, it will get passed within, like, a few minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
If not passing it will interfere with their vacation time. It's just they're not efficient.
But they have incentive at that point.
Exactly.
The vacation is their incentive.
Exactly.
To, we better hurry up and shove all this crap through.
Mm-hmm.
The heck with what the people want. We could talk more about the inefficiencies of government and this article about more gun control on the way. But first, let's go to Robert calling from South Carolina. Robert, you are on Free Talk Live.
Yes, sir. I, I just
just wanted to say that my grandfather, who was the de facto liaison between the Brooklyn Mafia and the legal system, he was born in 1905, so he was there during the years of Prohibition, so he had a very good idea of what this country would be like if there were no government, because at that time, you know what was going on. But
there was a government in 1905.
I'm thinking about the years of Prohibition. He was born in 1905.
And there's been a government since 1905 as well.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
There's been a government since 1905 as well.
Oh, yes, I realize that. But you see, if the government completely disappeared, basically what would happen is organized crime would pick up immediately, would pick up the slack. And you'd have all kinds of criminality going on, white-collar crime, blue-collar crime.
Well, Robert, organized crime is already the slack that needs to be picked up.
Yeah, what's the difference between government and organized crime, Robert?
Well, my grandfather, you know, I asked him that too, and he said that, for example, that the mafia was in the business of the numbers. That was a big part of their business. So my grandfather said, well, why can't we do the business? Why do they have to do the business? We could do it just as well, and they could tax us. But he couldn't understand that. And the fact of the matter is that of course private business could do a better job, but the government basically was looking, I guess, for a way to make some money, and probably figured it wanted to have its hands in it.
Just real quick.
So when you say the numbers there, are you referring to running numbers, a form of gambling?
Yes.
Oh,
in
okay.
The old days.
So similar to the lotto.
Yeah. So the mafia runs gambling. Exactly. When gambling is illegal, there's the organized crime runs industries that are black market. If they weren't illegal, and if there is no government, they couldn't be illegal. Like, the mafia is not dealing liquor. There aren't gangs on the side of the corner dealing liquor because it's legal, and it's a whole lot cheaper to just have a store and sell liquor. They're dealing illegal drugs, and they're operating gambling in places where that's illegal because you can't do it openly, or if you do, you have to have a whole lot more defense because you have to be able to take on the counter gang, which is the government.
Right.
So if you just got rid of the people who were stopping them or stopping anyone from doing it in the first place, there would be absolutely no reason for organized crime.
Well, you could reduce your costs if it were legal, and that's the same thing with liquor and liquor stores. It's a lot less expensive because you don't need the infrastructure.
It's a lot less violent. People don't get in shootouts at the liquor store.
Right.
Yes. But what I was trying to say is that if government suddenly fell apart and suddenly disappeared, we'd be in big trouble. I mean, we have a relatively thin, small government by comparison to what would happen.
We live in the biggest superpower that's ever existed in human history.
Yeah.
Because you specified the U.S.
Yeah. By what possible metric is this a small government?
Well, if you compared it with the top-heavy governments of, let's say, the Soviet Union, for example.
Still bigger.
Man, Stalin wishes he had what we have.
Yeah.
Our education department has a SWAT team.
It does. And did you know that the U.S. prison system has more people in it than the gulags ever thought of having? I'm talking about today.
Well, the thing is, in the Soviet Union, you really didn't have legal business. Everything was government. Was the government, even in China today.
Same here.
The government is you have to have the permission from the Communist Party of China to go into business and to operate a business.
Have you heard of a business license?
Yes, you have to have permission from the U.S. government to go into business for yourself in whatever state you're in.
But they're not they're not partners that are really in your company. They're just interested in getting some money, some tax money from you, and of course issuing licenses so they can get a bit there as well.
And yeah, telling you how to run it.
Yeah, because licensing is what happens when government takes away your right to do something and sells it back to you.
And if the government ever decides that you are going to do a specific action, you will do that specific action. Look at what happened with GM. Like, they were going to make this equipment anyway, and then they got ordered to do it. Had they made a different decision, they would still have to do this.
Well, in America, business has a lot more influence on the government than business has in China or business had in the Soviet Union.
Well, it's a vicious circle. of corporate power and government power.
Yeah, crony corporatism is what we have here, and thank you for the call today, Robert. Because what happens is the people who get a little bit of money lobby the government to give them special favors to keep their competition at bay, and then they get their buddies hired into positions of government so that they continue the vicious cycle that you just outlined.
Yeah, there's this imaginary separation between corporation and government, and there is no real separation between the two.
Which is not that different from what I understand the mafia does from talking to people. So they'll let, say, you know, the one dressmaker in town operate because they want a cut, and if they're smart enough to know that they're not going to get a cut if they go out of business. And maybe, you know, the dressmaker goes and says, okay, well, I need XYZ to happen in order to make this profit. But then that means that everybody else can't be a dressmaker in that town.
Right. And the part of the mafia that's stopping other dressmakers from existing is not a different organization than the part of the mafia that is selling drugs. It's not a different organization than the part that is breaking people's kneecaps for not paying their bills.
Right. The difference to me between government and mafia, and there are many similarities. The difference to me is that if the mafia came to me and said, hey, for a cut, we will offer you protection from X, whatever X is, competition from other gangs, whatever it is, I would probably actually trust the mafia to provide some level of protection.
They are much more efficient and much less violent than the government.
Whereas if the government said so, I would immediately disbelieve them and they're going to take my money anyway.
That's a fact.
603-283-6160. Who do you trust more, mafia or government? More Free Talk Live is on the way. Yes, it is Free Talk Live. We're well into hour number three of the Sunday night program. Free Talk Live is the live call-in talk radio program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And I wanted to remind you that ForkFest 2021 is coming up shortly. You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. That also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th. Where better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people, or you can create whatever experience or event you'd like others to have. If you are planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with fellow ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those are on the unofficial website, forkfest.party. Mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th, 2021, and we'll see you at forkfest.party. We continue to talk about many things, and during the commercial break, we've dug up a list of
the top 10 reasons why the mafia is better than the state.
Let's go.
And a shout out to Emily Sandblade for coming up with this. A reason number 10, the mafia has a sense of honor. If they say that they will do something, they stick to it. Nobody in the government has a clue what a sense of honor is. If they say that they will do something, you can count on it only if you're getting screwed.
Number 9.
The mafia code of conduct is simple and clear, and unfettered by legal doublespeak and millions of regulations.
Number 8.
When competing mafia families go to war, they don't kill hundreds of thousands of civilians as quote-unquote collateral damage. War is the health of the state, but for the mafia, it's bad for business.
Number 7.
Instead of conducting the war on drugs and the American people, the mafia is perfectly happy to peacefully provide high-quality products for those who desire them.
Oh, snap. What number are we in?
Number 6. When you buy protection from the mafia, you get protection. The mafia has a good track record for limiting violent crime in areas that they protect. When you buy protection from the state, you can dial 911 and die.
Number 5.
The mafia protection is much less expensive than the state's.
Oh, by a long shot. Number 4.
Hold on.
Number 5.2.
The mafia wants 10 or 15% of your profits, while the various levels of government will try to snatch at least 40 to 50% of your profits.
Fact.
Reason number 4. Unlike the state, the mafia wants your business to succeed. They know that ruining your business means that you can't pay for protection. The mafia imposes almost no regulatory overhead, nor do they require you to waste your time filling out zillions of self-incriminating tax forms.
Oh, yeah, the bureaucracy elimination alone. Ugh. All right, continue.
Reason number 3, the mafia won't keep you from having a gun to protect yourself and your property. The state prefers that you be disarmed. The mafia will gladly sell you the means to protect yourself, and they won't bother with a Brady check either. Reason number 2, the state wants to regulate what you do in your bedroom. The mafia not only does not want to regulate what you do in your bedroom, they will gladly sell you whatever you need to enhance your enjoyment.
Indeed. And number 1.
And the number 1 reason why the mafia should replace the state, members of the mafia have a great sense of style, dress far better than the government bureaucrats, and are much easier on the eyes.
Yeah.
So there you have it. The next time somebody argues that anarchy results in an increase in organized crime, smile sweetly and tell that person it would be a real improvement over the state.
I bring this up every now and again, but the state, that is government as an organization, has a homeliness problem. And that is to say, everybody's ugly. Mm. You know, and like occasionally you'll get like, you know, somebody who's more attractive than, you know, the average politician. But then they start speaking, and instantly they become ugly again. So they have a problem. I don't know how they're going to handle it.
And part of it is, like, that actually helps, because if you have some visible defect, you are more memorable, and anyone who points it out looks terrible. And honestly, it's not going to, like, so Orange Man Bad, for example.
Yes.
Like, if you do not support him and are not against him, someone pointing it out that he is orange actually makes you more likely to support him, because that's just crude.
Well, and if you do happen to be orange, you might just be like, hey, he's one of my kind.
And it makes him super memorable.
All right, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got David in New Mexico calling. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, coincidentally, this ties in exactly to what you're talking about the mob, government, corporate, racketeering outfit.
Lay it on
us. Sending some facts to prove my case. The New Mexico radio market is tied with the New Mexico government industry, especially the left-hand side of the government, as evidenced by the fact that I hear it advertised at me repeatedly today and through the weekend that T.J. Trout, an afternoon radio host on KKKOB 770 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is going to have his regular guest, Judge Roderick Kennedy, on the radio again. And Judge Rod Kennedy just happens to be a personal buddy of T.J. Trout. T.J. Trout also has a regular guest of University of New Mexico Law School professor Joshua Kastenberg every week, has him on multiple times a week often.
Okay.
And other UNM professors and other Democrat politicians, all the way up to including the governor, who was on his radio program the other day. Now, T.J. Trout routinely makes sure that I do not get on his radio program. And some people might appreciate that, but he does that because he doesn't want me to say the things that I say, which tend to be things like this. Roderick Kennedy is of interest to me because I have a decision here from the New Mexico Court of Appeals where Roderick Kennedy had sat for many, 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 many years. And he wrote the decision on a 3-judge panel, unanimous decision in my favor, saying that Judge M. Monica Zamora, another Democrat, had illegally trafficked my children, and that Judge John J. Romero Jr., the chief judge of the Children's Court in Albuquerque, should act appropriately since the Judge Zamora had illegally trafficked my children. And Romero never corrected that. That's a side thing.
Hey, David, I know you want to finish your thought. Can you hang on?
Yeah.
All right, stand by. We'll bring you back.
Just real quick, since he brought up the racketeering, RICO, the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act, I would absolutely love to see a racketeering charge against the government that is a class action lawsuit by all citizens.
Ooh, that's nice. We were just talking earlier about finding a way for the system to eat itself. That sounds like it might be a start. 603-283-6160, more Free Talk Live en route.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night version. Not virgin, but version. Our telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'll get to your calls in just a moment. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And I do want to take just a minute to say thank you to Lani Gopal. Lani Gopal is what we call an amplifier, and he is a platinum-level amplifier, which means he contributes $25 a month to Free Talk Live, and as a result, that $25 goes directly to help us get onto more radio stations. We're currently on around 185 or so radio stations. We could be on 200. We could be on 250. It's all up to you. You can find out more over at amp.freetalklive.com. We only ask for $5. You don't have to give 25. There's different levels, a silver level, a gold level, a platinum level, and there's even a custom level, which I'm going to call the unobtainium level. Because you can just give X, whatever it is, above $25 if you feel so inclined. If you enjoy the program, if you enjoy the content, if you enjoy the hosts, if you listen regularly, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com. We do accept PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, and of course Bitcoin. Again, amp.freetalklive.com. Thank you, Lani Gopal. We appreciate you and your contribution.
And I'm glad to see that we're ahead of the curve on accepting cryptocurrencies.
Or at least for us at the curve, right? We live in the future, so yeah. We were speaking with David in New Mexico, who was going on about his adventures in New Mexico.
Yeah, the court system sure sucks.
David.
And remember that New Mexico, as stated by a special agent in charge of the FBI New Mexico region, Tom McClanahan, about a decade ago upon retirement, stated publicly to a reporter that New Mexico, quote, is the most corrupt state in the nation, to which the reporter asked, isn't that the same thing that the head of the FBI in Illinois says? And the special agent in New Mexico replied, they have not been to New Mexico. And
I think we should solve this dispute. I really think it's important to figure out which one gets the title.
It is. New Mexico would win hands down, I guarantee you. And I'm just applying
Wait until D.C. becomes a proper state, and then we will know for certain which state is the most corrupt.
Well, that shouldn't be long at the current rate. So anyway, I was supplying some evidence, And what we're talking about is Cumulus Media. If you're in the radio industry, I'm sure you know Cumulus Media. They got a bunch of stations. And KKOB, News Radio 770, KKOB is one of them here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And they have an afternoon crew that consists of they want to be famous. So TJ Trout, Brandon Vogt, and Brandon Hagany, under the direction of program manager Jared DeHart, who they have.
And why are you giving them free advertising?
Well, we're indicting them. We're doing the people's business here. Remember, we're a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and we're just holding government right now. That's all we're doing. We're doing a grand jury indictment. But so what these people are doing, they have a nonstop parade of politicians and corporate leaders on their radio station.
Sure.
And I was saying that coincidentally, most of these, the vast majority of these politicians tend to be from the Democrat Party. What that means, I don't necessarily know, but they're
a terrifying mafia, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I gave you a few examples. They also, every single week, TJ Trout, Brandon Vogt, Brandon Hagany have the lieutenant governor comes on his program every single Friday. And it's a nonstop parade every single day, virtually. You could make that statement. It would be virtually truthful 100% or like 90% of the time. Every single day, TJ Trout, Brandon Vogt, Brandon Hagany have some government official from the state of New Mexico on their radio program.
Wow. That's, I mean, it's how it goes, though. They, you know, everybody treats these politicians as if they're, you know, some sort of, I don't know, man, a celebrity, if you will. And they give them these special treatments, right? Like as if they're a rock star.
I think we're slowly but surely into like seeing these leaders as god kings. Like they are becoming more and more pharaonic as time goes by. I mean, already there's the expectation that they will not have the same moral requirements as the rest of us. And they are afforded an extraordinary level of respect, and they have no business being respected. They're mass murderers.
Yeah, it's,
they talk good and all, but no.
It sickens me, the treatment that politicians get, that they've been put on the level of, you know, a movie star, a TV star, a rock star, something along those lines, when they've done nothing even remotely close to what any of those people could do. They're not artists. They're not, you know, such great, you know, so good at their art that they've, you know, I don't know, enhanced the lives of millions of people with their art. No, they haven't. They've done nothing of the sort.
And I mean, I saw more criticism for Trump than I have ever seen for any politician ever. And almost 100% of it is things he says. Like, but how about the things that he does? How about all the war crimes? How about the assisted genocide? How about the fact that he's stealing from you? Nope, nothing about that. But he's in this position that we respect, and he's not treating it like a position of respect. Yep. Hey, guys, how about you quit respecting that position?
Well, and the same would apply to the organization known as government, right? If the government is a system, as most folks purport it to be, then that system should be evaluated solely upon the output of the system.
Makes sense to me.
So, what does this system output? It outputs all of the seven deadly sins, right?
Nothing but evil continually. Yeah.
Can you name anything good government has ever done?
Well, the usual thing that people think of is, well, at least we don't have a million mafias. Just one.
We do. There's like, I don't know, over 200 countries on planet Earth, so there's 200 mafias.
Even domestically, the United States is kind of the undisputed reigning mafia, but, we live in New Hampshire, so we don't see it on a day-to-day, but there's other...
And, I mean, it is worth mentioning that, yes, they do dominate industries that are incredibly important. Taking the trash, providing electricity, providing water, feeding the hungry. Like, these are important things to do, and they do a little bit of that. They make it illegal for anyone else to do them.
This is also the first place I lived where this government was the one who picked up the trash. That's weird to me.
Yeah, it is weird to me, too. In every other place that I've lived, there was always a company or companies that you had to call.
And, yeah, and it usually wasn't even like a granted monopoly. It was you could pick whoever.
Yeah, it was, there's several different services, and you would have to pick one that, it was kind of like the cable company, right? Or the telephone company.
An oligopoly. Like,
hey, do you service my area? They'd have territories like salespeople do, right? Oh, no, we don't, but you got to call Bob's Waste Service and he'll take care of your whatever it was. So, yeah, that's true. A big argument oftentimes from people who don't quite understand.
A cartelized industry is.
Well, and I mean, not even. Like, I mean, in some places it was, like New Orleans, I'm sure it was, but. There was just, you could start a trash company and you they didn't service every single street because nobody does.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just any other business.
Well, I believe here in New Hampshire, at least in the unserviced trash areas, that you could just be a guy with a truck and like put an ad on Craigslist, be like, I'll come get your trash every week for a fee. I think that can happen. I'm not sure though. 603-283-6160. Has the government done anything good? Give us a call. Let us know. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. It is Free Talk Live. We are the call-in radio talk program live 7 nights a week from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're not in the Eastern Time Zone, just do some math. It's not that hard. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
And we're going to go to your calls and thoughts. We have Dana calling from Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. Mountaineer mentioned that Trump was the most criticized politician, probably. I don't know if he said ever. I missed that last word.
I think he said ever.
That was to teach us a lesson. And I've always told Mark and Ian, libertarians most closely resemble conservatives. They are very similar. We have a lot of crossover points. Now, I did not say Republican, because Republican is the opposite side of the same coin as a Democrat.
We agree.
They both spend, they both power hungry, but I'm saying conservatives, because we believe in laissez-faire, blah, blah, blah. We have so many. I told Mark this so many times. I'm conservative, but I have more than a sprinkling of libertarianism. One thing that Mountaineer mentioned is that was on purpose, and it was blatant, and they rubbed our noses in it. Ha, 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 we got him on Ukraine. Ha, 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 we set him off and spent $40 million, taxpayer dollars. And they don't care because it didn't come out of Pelosi's pocket or anybody else's, and she's worth north of $40 million.
Peakless, what do you have to say?
They did that on purpose. They wanted us to know what they did and why they were doing it. They didn't hide any of that first impeachment, the Ukrainian thing, which was a fake.
So,
nor did they hide the Comey and Brennan fiasco.
And what lesson do you think that they were teaching us?
Dana, hold on. Dana, hold on a second. Go ahead, okay. Peakless.
Yeah, you were saying that was to teach us a lesson, us being conservatives, which in your mind includes libertarians or?
Libertarians, yes.
Okay.
All of us.
For example, when we would talk about like, hey, if Ron Paul was elected president, yada, 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 and this is sort of a just so you know, it would be like this, except, with probably more assassination attempts.
Exactly. And that's why they beat the heck out of Ron Paul and Rand Paul, because they are trying to teach a lesson that if you diverge. First lesson, no outsider is ever going to get that office again. And as far as Rand and Ron Paul, they're divergent too. And so they're going to make sure that they go after them. And if anybody thinks that some nonsense conspiracy theory, look what they did. I just can't believe that libertarians and conservatives and some original, not Rhino, but original Republicans that believed like conservatives did, why our sides weren't the ones rioting in the street. What they did to a president is unbelievable. If they can do that to him,
I completely agree with you as far as like why on earth were none of the conservatives showing that they were at all upset about what was happening with this. And like, okay, they destroyed the entire economy. They could have destroyed the economy during the bird flu or the swine flu or anything like that, but no. They destroyed the economy when the anti-establishment candidate was in office. I think that was intentional. And none of the conservatives did anything.
Because you know what? I'm going to answer that. Just with the chief of police that was forced to step down of Washington after the January 6th incident. No, it wasn't an insurrection.
Right.
And it was not treason. It was an incident. But the thing is, it was more like a party if you actually watch the footage. But that being said, the reason the chief of police said is, they're Trump supporters. They never do anything wrong. You know, they're such a mix of libertarians. They're all races, all creeds, and they're just people who just want less government, and not just less, but get the hell out of our lives. And so they don't expect that. So then if we do become violent, you know what's going to happen. They're going to crucify us. They encouraged Antifa and they encouraged BLM, but they're going to crucify us. But I'm telling you, people aren't going to keep a lid on this. We're going to end up in civil, and then the stealing of the election. You know, I watched all the testimony from all four states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, my state, Michigan, and Georgia. Those people, some of those people were Democrats. They have switched parties either to Libertarian or Republican because they were devastated by what their party was doing. I don't understand why we didn't get into a civil war yet. I still don't understand this. And no, well, I'm Mountaineer.
It might not be necessary to have a civil war. I mean, we really didn't get time to get into this, but like right now, cryptocurrency is replacing fiat currency. And if that occurs, then we don't need to spill any blood over this.
Well, I'm not talking about spilling blood, but it just there were over 20 people that were killed during the riots this past summer, both Antifa and BLM. And I believe
in January was sure as heck not referred to as a mostly peaceful protest.
No, exactly. And I think the number was between 2,000 and 3,000 police were hurt. Three of them were blinded. I can go, and several of them died. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is that I'm not talking about blood, but the threat of that. Now, I don't know what we have to do. I just, you know, people are mad, but getting mad isn't enough. So
I think Dana and Mr. Peakless Mountaineer, I think that one of the possible answers is secession, and that is for the individual states to become their own governments and for the elimination of the federal government. The states need to come together to do that, but they don't all need to get together at the same time. One state can simply secede from the rest of the states and become its own independent entity. I think that that is a viable solution.
And I think that as individuals, what we need to do is make them obsolete. So like they are providing these necessary services like protection and courts and money. Okay, we need to stop using their money and eventually stop using their courts and ultimately stop using their protection because they are not helping us. So we need to form our own communities. We need to have our own way of doing these things instead of relying on the government for these things.
Are you guys all supporters of Convention of States?
I flip back and forth on Convention of States. So, like, they're trying to open up the Constitution for a couple of specific things. So on one hand, like, I don't know if that's going to work because, like, we don't follow the Constitution at all.
As it is.
So even if you add to the Constitution that, like, this and this and this are not allowed, like, we don't follow it anyway. And, I mean, but it is dangerous to open the Constitution because, like, who knows what changes they're actually going to make. I mean, like, look at how we got the Constitution in the first place. We were going to amend the Articles of Confederation, and then we ended up with this Constitution.
So, well, I was under the premise that the Convention of States, the main purpose was to get rid of the federal and return the power to the individual 50 states.
Yeah, but once they can do whatever they want.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Dana. We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the risk reward right there is like the reward. We might actually get a secession of independent states, and that would be wonderful. But yeah, once they convene, there's no telling what they're going to do.
What's the Spooner quote about the Constitution? It may be one thing or another, but it is either authorized the government that we have or it has failed to prevent it from becoming. And as Melanie mentioned earlier, the United States government is the largest government ever on planet Earth. And that's certainly the opposite of what we commonly understand.
It was designed to be tiny, and boy, did that not work.
We're out of time. Visit freetalklive.com for all of our archives. If you missed any part of today's show, you can hear a repeat there. We're live 7 days a week. Thanks. Peace.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of Jonathan Gullible.
As you may recall, we last left Jonathan Gullible on a remote Pacific island after his boat was blown far off course by a terrific storm.
Eager to learn about the inhabitants of this island, Jonathan wandered through the town until he saw a man in an alley who was eating some bread.
Suddenly aware of his hunger, Jonathan approached the man to find out where he could get some food.
Pardon me, sir. I'm a stranger around here, and I don't know where to find some food.
Stranger, huh? Here. You can have one of my sandwiches, but I don't have a permit to serve food.
You need a permit for food?
Yeah, it can be quite a problem for me if word gets around that I gave you black market food without a permit.
What's the permit for?
They say it's to guarantee a certain standard of food for all. Years ago, townsfolk used to buy their food from street vendors, corner cafes, fancy restaurants, or they'd get their food at stores and cook in their own homes. All that's illegal now. The Council of Lords argued that it was unfair that some people should eat better than others. So they created political cafeterias where everyone in town could eat standard food for free.
Everyone eats for free?
Well, not exactly free, of course. The cost of each meal is much more than ever before, but nobody pays at the door. It comes out of our taxes, and we're supposed to eat at the new political cafeterias.
So why are you eating out here in the alley if you can eat for free at the political cafeteria?
Because the political cafeterias are awful. The cooks, the food, the atmosphere, free but awful. Now, bad cooks never get fired. Their guild is too strong. And really good cooks are never properly rewarded. It makes the bad cooks jealous, you know. The buildings are falling apart. Filth and graffiti are everywhere. Morale is low. The food is monotonous and bland. The Board of Digestion decides the menu.
Board of Digestion?
Yeah, that's the worst part. This board of officials tries to please their friends. You should have seen the fight over the noodles and rice. Noodles and rice, day in and day out for decades. Then the Spud Lobby organized a campaign to bring back bread and potatoes. When potato lovers finally got their people on the board, that was the last we ever saw of noodles and rice.
What if you don't like bread and potatoes all the time?
It's risky business not to go. And the nutrient officers monitor attendance at meals, and they hunt down anyone who has failed to show up. Nutrient delinquents are taken to special detention cafeterias for forced feeding.
So everyone must be well fed.
Hardly. They tell us that we now have a lower digester-to-cook ratio than at any time in history, but half the population of the island is functionally malnourished. The original plan to give better nutrition to the poor has ended up with poor nutrition for all. Some misfits have refused to eat completely and seem on the verge of starvation, even though their food is for free. Worse yet, vandals and gangsters roam the political cafeterias freely, and no one feels safe there anymore. Soon the political cafeterias will be as bad as the schools.
Stay tuned for another exciting episode in the adventures of Jonathan Gullible.
Build freedom with laughter. Join the community. Access free media clips and more. Or get your free PDF copy of the book. Go to jonathangullible.com now. jonathangullible.com.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges. He is a first-time offender, and no victims were named at trial. Ross is condemned to die in a cage because he made a website called Silk Road that allowed people to exchange what they chose using Bitcoin as long as no third party was harmed. Please help. Sign and share the petition at freeross.org to commute Ross's sentence and bring him home.